Anybody with any knowledge of God and the end time, I think will in some way or another agree that we are definitely coming into that time frame, if not already there, or if not already in it, up to our necks. Praise the Lord. With reference to that, there was a word that the Lord has been speaking to me personally, and something that I have been sharing as I have been going about. Out of Daniel, because I believe that Daniel was a prophet for the end time. He was not a man that was born for his season. He was born, as Paul said, "I am a man born out of season." Although you really cannot say that about us, I think, because we are not born out of season. We are born in the right season. Hallelujah. And we are living in a time frame. Brother, it's good to see you. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. We are born for this time frame. We are born for the aspects of the culmination of the ages. There was a word that was delivered to us many, many years ago. And that word now, that word is supposed to be being activated. And coming to a place of fullness. Praise God. All these familiar faces. Hallelujah. We have received a word, and that word is for a specific time frame. And that word is supposed to be being activated now. But it takes some aspect. It takes some effort on our part. One of the problems with the Holy Place Church is that it's become, now please forgive me, you may disagree with me, but that's okay, praise God. It has become very denominationalized. And I mean that in the sense of how we respond to the Word of God. We come, we go to church, we come in, we hear some very good words, we get excited, we sing songs, we feel the Spirit of God moving. And we somewhat get revived, but we go out of here and we seemingly fall right back into the same rut, the same routine. We live our lives as we did yesterday in the thought that tomorrow will be the same. We do not have the thought or the concept or the reality that tomorrow may not be the same. Hallelujah. And the reason why I say that is that we don't really live our lives like it would be. If you knew that you were going to die tomorrow, that's all you had, what would you do today? What would you do today? I think it's a relevant question, isn't it? Hallelujah. If you want to know what it is that God expects you to do, praise the Lord, you could look at the lives of the disciples. You could look at the lives of the Christians of that era or that time frame that we know about. Hebrews, one of the chapters, Hebrews 11 or 12, talks about those people who were living their lives as it was the last day. And of course, it came to be one of the last days for them as they were going along. And so it is also with us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because there has been something that has been set into motion and is now coming to a position or a place of fruition. And I like the story of Daniel. I like the story of his friends, the three Hebrew boys there. I like that story because it's indicative of us. It tells the story about us. In the position and the place that we are in. You know, we were born in sin. We were born in sin. We were born without any consequence to us in the aspect of the decision that we made. We were born in that condition. We were born in that place. And in some respects, those Hebrew boys were in the same place. They were in the same condition, you understand. Hallelujah. They were taken captive. They were brought into a place of captivity outside of their choice. They did have no choice. Do you want to go into captivity today? They had no choice. They were come, they were riched out of their circumstances and their situation, much like you could look at us in the aspect of our history in Adam. Hello? Hallelujah. We were brought into captivity to sin. We were brought into captivity to death and desolation. Not by reason of our own decision. We had no aspect or responsibility concerning it. But somewhere along the line, Jesus Christ came and He touched you, He touched me. Praise the Lord. And really that, quite frankly, that changed the whole environment, that changed the whole scenario as far as the spiritual realm of that exists. It changed it. It revolutionized it. Hallelujah. Much like the position or the place of dedication and consecration that these young men had. They made a decision at a particular point. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And that decision is indicative of you and I making a decision to accept God and the position or the plan and the purposes that He has for our life. Hello? There were many Hebrew children there. You understand that? There were many Hebrew people there. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There were many Hebrew. You want to unscrew the top of that for me, please? There were many Hebrew children there. But we're only told of four of them. Hello? As far as the aspect of a positive existence is concerned. Hello? But there were many of them there. They had brought all of Israel out and brought them into Babylon. Hallelujah. And much like the church and all of that sort of stuff, in that respect, we are basically in the same place. We are basically starting out from the same position, the same place. But there was something about those Hebrew children that they made a decision. Somewhere you made a decision. Huh? Somewhere you made a decision. You made a decision. Hallelujah. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you made a decision. And what was that decision? I'm not going to follow the world, right? Yeah. Isn't that what He said? I am not going to be as those that are in the world. I am going to follow who? Jesus Christ. I am going to what? Be like Him. Have you completed your mission? Have you fulfilled the calling and the election? You know, some of you young people, you want to think, what is my calling? What is my election? Well, it's very simple. You know, some of us adults are still pondering, what is my calling? What is my election? And you can ponder and wonder right up until the day you drop dead and fall into the dirt. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there is a position, there is a place that we have to come to in our relationship with Jesus Christ that we make a decision. And unfortunately for us as a people, in the time frame that we live in, I believe that ability to decide is becoming critical. And there's a point to where what I decide will not make any difference any longer. Hello? And then what I decide will not necessarily do for me what I would have done had I decided to do it at the time that God was pushing me to do it. Hello? Because God gives you and I a space to repent. He gives us, but He is working in accordance to a time schedule. And that schedule is set, you understand. It's set. Now, you think you got tomorrow. You think, oh, tomorrow, don't you? You think you got tomorrow. But you may not have tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow to do what you could have done today. Hello? Hallelujah. And we have to be of that mindset. We have to have that position, that place, or that understanding. You know, when I was 20 years old, I never thought about dying. Hello? I didn't think about dying. I was indestructible. I was eternal. I was full of life and vim and vigor, strong and could work like a horse and blah, blah, blah. Huh? I never thought about dying. And what I did to my body and the things that I was involved in was self-destructive. But I thought I could overcome all of that. Not in a Christian mentality, just in the strength and the aspect of my being. Hello? But as I got older, I begin to glean something out of my experiences, you know. I wasn't as indestructible as I thought I was. I wasn't as strong as I used to be. And there are things that change, and as you get older, and as you get older, and as you get older, hallelujah, things begin to deteriorate, break down. They just don't do what they used to do, or be able to sustain the aspect or the environment that you are in, hallelujah, as you have used to be able to handle it, mentally, emotionally, physically. Hello? Hallelujah. So you never think about it, really. But we have an opportunity now that I think that God is giving us to begin to contemplate that aspect of reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, as I am, the Bible says that it has been given to man, what? 70. And the closer I get to that, the greater I understand my inability to change it. So anything beyond that is what? It's pure grace. Unadulterated pure grace. Anything that is extended to me beyond that is pure grace. I don't care what they've done in medicine and all of that sort of stuff and whatever else they want to do to try to prolong longevity of life. Anything above and beyond that is pure grace. So there is something in the aspect of fear that I have to have concerning God and His ability to sustain me. Hallelujah. But in order for me to be in that position, I have to know that what I am doing is what God wants me to do. Hallelujah. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anything outside of that, I'm in trouble. Anything beyond that, I'm in trouble. Anything less than that, I'm not going to accomplish. I'm not going to fulfill. I'm not going to obtain the reality of what it is that God has for me to do personally, individually. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it is like that with all of us. Hallelujah. Especially in the aspect of the word that we have. Praise God. And brethren, the Bible says... that in the last days there is coming such great tribulation that the world has never known, has never seen, and shall never ever see again. Can you imagine how great that tribulation is? I can't. I have been some places in Africa and seen such atrocities and such demonic response between human beings and what they have perpetrated and what they have done to other human beings and the destruction that they do and create. Hallelujah. We were down in Romania and it's unbelievable what was going on in that country, you understand, during that occupation after World War II and up until the time that Iron Curtain fell. Hallelujah. It was unbelievable what they were doing to human beings. You know, they use Romania as a diabolical laboratory on the aspect of what you could do or press a man or a humanity to. They used it as a laboratory. Hallelujah. Torture-wise and sadistic in their thinking and all of that thing. It was horrendous. It was terrible. Hallelujah. And yet, the Bible says something greater than that is coming. Hallelujah. Something greater than that is coming. And in that coming, there is to be an authority that is activated by God in us to begin to rise up to resist it. Okay. Hallelujah. But that authority is not something like a divine wand that God just wipes over you and says, now you're activated. It doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. It didn't work like that with the three Hebrew children. They made a decision in the beginning. We shall what? Not partake of the king's meat. Huh? The wine and the meat of the king. They shall not partake of that wine, that meat. Let us what? Hallelujah. eat pulp. Hallelujah. It's really it's really a self-induced affliction of discipline to bring yourself into it. Hallelujah. You know, when I was a boy growing up, my folks were very well-to-do. They were very wealthy. And, you know, they gave us everything. They spoiled us rotten. Hallelujah. They really did. Hallelujah. And you can see the effects of it in my family. But in the midst of all of it, God came down in the midst of all of it, and He touched us. Hello? Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, God had to put me through a grinder. Hello? Because I was used to it, brother. Hallelujah. I was used to it. If I needed new shoes, I got new shoes. If I had new pants, I got new pants. If I needed a new shirt, I got new shirt. Hello? Hallelujah. If I and all of those amenities of life, doctors and dentists and schools and all of those things were something that was afforded me as a child. But it taught me or did nothing for me in the aspect of my spiritual condition. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, my mother was very instrumental in getting me saved. And once I got saved, God took over the process. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, God had to put me through a meat grinder. Do you hear me? Now, I don't know. Some of you boys, maybe you young ladies can tell me. But, you know, it's difficult when you're used to steak. Well, you know, you may not like steak so much, but there are other foods that you like. You grow up with them, right? Hallelujah. It has to be fixed a certain way. All of those things and the clothes you wear and the way you want to present yourself, and if you have something, being able to get it. That is a lifestyle. Don't you understand what I'm saying? It's a lifestyle that we have developed, and it's really kind of a trap. You see, because the devil knows your calling. The devil knows your election. So the devil wants to work certain circumstances and situations to make sure that at the time of your activation, you are so tied up, you are so bound in the aspect of your circumstances, you do not see any possibility of getting loose. Huh? Oh, yes. Now, I don't know how it is here, but I imagine it's somewhat the same. As I grow up, I wanted a car. I went down and bought a car. Hello? Hallelujah. But I had to sign a contract to get the car. Hallelujah. So now I got a house payment. I got a car payment. Oh, and then I decide, well, I want to buy a house. So I go out and buy a house. Right? Hallelujah. And now I got a house payment and a mortgage that I got to deal with. Hallelujah. And then there's other amenities that I begin to look at and begin to want and begin to work for. And I get to work, and then I get more work, and then I get more work, and then I get more work, because I've got this astronomical lifestyle that I have to support. Hello? And I'm a Christian, so I can't go down and just file bankruptcy. I have to pay those debts. I have to be an example. Hello? Hallelujah. And the devil knows it. Hallelujah. And the devil knows it. So now coming the time of your activation, and you are so absolutely bound. Hallelujah. Well, that was a similar situation to these young men. Hallelujah. Not that they were so much... I think they were a lot more diligent in their position of relationship with Jesus Christ, with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand? They had made a decision. And on the basis of that decision, they begin to develop a lifestyle. Not a lifestyle by virtue of the environment that they were in. Hello? Hello? Come on. Your environment determines your lifestyle. Not only your external environment, but your internal. What do you want? You want nice dishes on the table. You want those nice curtains hanging down on the windows. You want those nice rugs on the floor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. You want your own car to drive, male and female, husband, wife, and then you got to go out and buy cars for your kids. Huh? Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Or maybe you don't buy cars for your kids, right? Huh? You don't do that, right? I think you do. You got another payment. Hallelujah. You just dig it deeper, 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 dig it deeper. Somewhere along the line, now I wouldn't go into a Baptist church and talk like this, you understand. But I'm not in a Baptist church, I hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wouldn't talk like this in a Pentecostal church. I would tell them to come out of that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what I am talking to is a people who have a particular message. I'm talking to a people who have what they call a Sons of God message. 144,000. A first fruits company. A man-child message. How can you denominationalize that? How can you come and sit down to listen to a good message and turn around and go out and fall back into the same rut? You just sang a song. It was not the last song, but it was a song before that or something about all of the authority. Yeah? Didn't we sing a song about authority? Didn't I hear authority? Hallelujah. I thought I did. I might have just fallen asleep and dreaming it. Hallelujah. You know, and it sparked a thought in my mind, because it says in Colossians somewhere, I think it's in the second chapter, it says that in Him what? Dwelleth the fullness of what? Of the Godhead. The Godhead. It didn't say the God person. It didn't say, it's talking about the brain of God. Hallelujah. What is that Godhead? What is the reality of it? It's omnipower. Think omni. You know omni? Hello? All inclusive, all overshadowing, all beyond and above whatever it is that we have, or the ability to by which we might move or live in our current situation. We are a people who preach and believe, I hope we believe, in the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily within Him. And what? We. That's you. That's you, you, you. That's you. Hallelujah. We are what? Complete. That means that we become a part of, we become incorporated in, and all of that aspect of what it is available to us. It's at our beck and call. But we want to use it in a fashion or in a form that is not in the mind of God. Hello? I need money, I want to use it to get money. I have health, something in my body, I want to use it to get healed. If I need assistance in something, then I pray and I want to get that assistance. Hello? I don't come to God because I want to know God. I come to God because of what I need. Hallelujah. Oh, and I can have faith to believe. Oh, that, yes, there was that. Do you remember the faith movement? Or do you remember that? Or is that was before your time? Hallelujah. Copeland and who was the other one? Hagen and all of those men. Hallelujah. They're all dead, by the way, I think. Hallelujah. Hell, he's still alive. Oh, boy, I hate to see what condition he's in. Hallelujah. And, you know, they prospered very much. They prospered, but they went off into deception. They went off into error. They went off into gross deception. Hello? Name it and claim it. You know, I had some friends that would walk around somebody's house naming it and claim it. Somebody else lived there, had a family, and yet they were walking around it, naming it and claim it, and because they wanted the house. And they were claiming it in the name of the Lord. Now, that isn't the Lord whom I serve. No. Not the Lord. Not the Lord. Hello? It is not the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I wasn't, I wasn't, I wasn't created, and you know, there's a certain thought in that the disciples had something of the same mentality. Oh yes, ruling and reigning, right? Hallelujah. Oh yeah, when I came into this word, we didn't call it ruling and reigning. We called it death to self. Death to self. Put a sign out there, Brother Ike, on your door saying death to self church. Huh? Put a sign out there, death to self. And they come in here and you preach, you gotta die, you gotta die, you gotta die, you gotta die. Die, 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 die. Hallelujah. Find out how many people you will have at the end of the day. Huh? Find out how many people you don't get to give. You get it here, you push it out here. You get it here, you push it out there. Hello? Hallelujah. We don't think like that. That is the outer court church mentality. Hello? Hallelujah. And the Bible says that outer court church was given to the Gentiles. That means to tread under its foot. That means it was defiled. It came to a place of no value as far as God is concerned. And we see that valuelessness of it when he says, leave out the outer court and measure the what? The holy place. He had the measure. We are now being measured. We are now being measured. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when you go to work, you should not go to work as an employee of the company that is employing you. You should go to work as a son of God who was called for the end time. Amen. Hello? Amen. Hello? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have these three young men. And let me tell you, the whole situation of this set of circumstances was something that was orchestrated by God. I would ask you, who gave the dream to Nebuchadnezzar? Huh? God had to give him the dream. Nebuchadnezzar, it wasn't the devil, come on. It wasn't the devil. Because God isn't going to give Daniel the interpretation of a devil dream. The dream was given to Daniel by God because God wanted Daniel to know what it was that was happening, and he wanted the people to know it. And at the time, there was something of a flourishing of the position and the reverence of God in it. But it didn't last long. Hallelujah. Much like the strength and the vitality of the church. Much like the strength and the vitality of the Holy Place Church. You know, 50 years isn't really a long time. You know that. And that's about how long that we as a people have had this message. It has been about 50 years. And we are nowhere where we were 50 years ago. Can you remember the meetings, Zaki? Hallelujah. The excitement and the sense and the power and the flowing of God in the meetings. Does anybody remember that besides me? Hallelujah. You know, there was one thing that was important, and I was married, I was working and all of that, but when this word began to come and I began to hear it, I mean, I did everything. I did not miss a meeting. There was a man that came into my mother's home, and he was there for 3 weeks, and every night I sat in a chair from 7 o'clock in the night until 2 o'clock in the morning. And I couldn't hardly wait to get through the day to come back to the next night. Hello? Do you have that excitement now? Is that what's pushing you now? What is driving you? What is promoting you? Are you just kind of dragging through existing and kind of maintaining, if I might use that word? But I don't think we're maintaining too well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here we are. So it was God that gave Nebuchadnezzar the dream. Hello? Hallelujah. It was God that gave Nebuchadnezzar the dream. Now go back into the Old Testament, and you will find many situations where when Israel began to rebel against God, it says that God went in and stirred up the Philistines, or he went in and he stirred up the Midianites against Israel. Why? that he might chasten them, that he might shake them, that he might wake them up. Hello? Hallelujah. And God, so gracious, so absolutely merciful, took a man out of his country, put him into a foreign country, put him under all kinds of duress and stress in order to give him a revelation for our time. Daniel was in captivity for our time. Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. The quality of the man, the character of the man, that God would pick him for you and for me. For the end time. Because Daniel is not a prophet for his time. Do you hear me? Oh, he had words of knowledge. He had an understanding, and he advised Nebuchadnezzar. And he warned Nebuchadnezzar, you understand. Hallelujah. But Daniel was not a prophet for the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was a prophet for you and me. Hallelujah. He said, seal up the sum of the book. When will it be revealed? When will it be opened? Huh? In the time of the end. And there is now a spirit of revelation that God is bringing to the church. Hello? But brethren, that spirit of revelation has a time frame when it is given that is to prepare you for the aspect or the reality of the situation that is coming so that you can realize or come into a position of having that first-hand experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing like that first-hand experience. You understand what I mean? Hallelujah. You know, I had a son who was working for me. I taught all of my children how to be carpenters. That's what I was. I taught them to be. I didn't necessarily want them to be carpenters, but I said, you're going to learn carpentry so that if you ever need to be a carpenter, you can be a carpenter and they can give you a living or something. So I taught them all. I brought them all out there, even my daughter. She would come out there with me on the job and work, 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 work. And I taught them, and you know, they came along pretty well. In fact, one of the sons got to a point that he started telling me what to do. Any of you children tried to tell your father how it should be and how way it should work? Oh, and the dad comes to you and says, oh, you go to the mother and says, no, no, dad, it don't work that way. Huh? Any of you dads had that experience? Hallelujah. My mother used to say, knock on wood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, he started telling me, what to do. And you know, father, you gotta endure a little bit and work with it. But there came a day, and I said, enough is enough. I said, son, you're fired. Huh? You said that? Yes, I did. I said, son, you're fired. Pack up your bag. He had his toolbox. Pack it up. Get off the job. You're fired. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was time for him to learn something. It was time for him to expand. It was time for him to grow. And he was not very old. He was 17 maybe. Hallelujah. Now, what he didn't know is I had already made arrangements with another contractor to hire him. Hallelujah. Isn't God great? I mean, God's good. You know, God never, comes in to chastise you, comes into discipline, but he's already made a provision for you that is going to teach you a lesson. Hello? Hallelujah. So my son was about to learn a lesson. Hello? Praise the Lord. I said, why don't you go over there to so-and-so and ask him if he'll hire you? Hallelujah. So he did, and he got hired. And you know, it wasn't 2 weeks that he came back to me. He says, Dad, can I please have my job back? I looked at him, I said, no. Praise God. But you know, he's a very good carpenter today. Very good carpenter. Hallelujah. And he makes a living by his carpentry. Hallelujah. So there are certain situations, certain circumstances that God prepares for us in order to activate what it is that He has been investing in us. And sometimes He does it in order to help us get out of the rut. Mm. Hello? Hallelujah. Because, you know, brethren, some of you are very financially prosperous and comfortable. No, I'm just telling you what I believe God is telling me. Some of you are very, very comfortable where you are financially. Well, you may not think so, but you got a roof over your head, you're paying your bills, you got electricity, you got water running in your pipes, you got gas in your car. Hello? Hallelujah. In fact, you would be numbered among the top five of all financial positions of security, globally speaking. Because that doesn't really take much, you know what I mean. All you need is a house. All you need is food. All you need is a vehicle. All you need is a mobile phone. That puts you in the top bracket. That's all it takes to put you in that top bracket of prosperity. Hello? Hallelujah. I'm not telling you my statistics. I'm talking about internet statistics. People who know those things, who will go on in and investigate it. Hello? Hallelujah. But some of us are not even satisfied with that. We just want more, and we want more, and we want more, and we want more. And more is not going to fix your dilemma. The only thing, because you have something that nobody else has. You have a word that is peculiar. You have a word that is different than any word that has ever been given to any people. In fact, the word that you have, brother, is a word that the prophets desire to look into. They would give anything to be in your shoes. Hello? They would give anything to be in your shoes. And the revelation that we have that was given to us by Paul, he was a man who confessed his position and his desire to be in a different season. I am a man born out of due season. He saw the revelation. He had an understanding. He grasped hold of it. He wanted to be one of those people. He did not want to go by way of the grave. Do you hear me? He wanted to walk out of death into life. That's what Paul wanted to do. Well, any man in his right mind, any man who is out of his mind, would want what it is that God is offering you. Don't you understand? Enoch was a man of like character. Enoch was a man of like desire. Enoch was a man of like passion. He had a wife. He had children. He had a job. He had to make a living. What do you think? It just fell out of the sky like that manna? Huh? Clothes for his kids? Huh? Shelter for his kids? Responsibility? You know what it is? Marital relationships? Husband and wife? Confrontation and contention? Sometimes. Hallelujah. You know what it is with children? Come on. Confrontation and stress and strain and all of the things that come in that arena. He was a man just like you and I. Hello? And yet he was different in that he had made a decision. He made a decision. He made a decision to walk with God. Hallelujah. And he made it at the right time. And God give us the grace. God give us the power, the ability to make that decision. Because, brethren, I do not believe we have much time. Oh, I don't believe I have much time. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I believe we are living in the last days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you know, in different places that I go, I've been ministering on the demographics of people, of people of various types. You know what I mean? Europeans, Americans, Canadians, Asians, Chinese, and all of that. All of those things. I've been ministering on those. Somebody went on the internet and began to find information. They're sending me these links. You understand? And you go into them, and they're terrifying. I am becoming an extinct race, a type of person. I don't like to call it race because there's only one race. Because we all come out of Adam. It doesn't make any difference where you are or what color you are or what it is, nationality or whatever affiliation that you have with life in that respect. We are one type of people, one race of people. Different types, one race. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm related to you whether you like it or not. Hallelujah. And some of you could be in trouble. Hallelujah. You know, you have these relatives that just come in and drop in on you and they don't go away. Hallelujah. But we have a position, we have a place of responsibility. There is something that God is saying to you and I, that now is the time that we need to become to a place of making that decision. And you know, in spite of what your situation is, in spite of how difficult it is, how tied up you are in it, there is nothing that is impossible for God to loose you out of it if you are willing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. If you are willing, did you hear me? If you're not willing, forget it. Hallelujah. You won't even get to the first base, as we say in the States sometimes. Hallelujah. So here we have a situation here in Daniel concerning this image that was given to him in a dream. Now, how do I know that this image here is the image or the aspect of what is now happening? Because as Daniel interprets the dream, he is interpreting the different aspects or the portions of the image and giving you the time dispensations of those actualities have happened, right? Isn't that right? Yeah. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The head was that aspect of Nebuchadnezzar, and then the shoulders and the thighs, and then down to the feet, where that what? That rock, that was cut out of the mountain without hands, did what? Hallelujah. It went and smashed on the feet of that image, and it broke it to pieces. They didn't have to deal with the whole image, just had to take care of the feet. That's all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you can say that image is not only for Nebuchadnezzar time, but that image is now being displayed in its fullness in the economy and the political and the geographical aspects of where it is and that is now happening in the world at large. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a responsibility that I have to read and to understand. Hallelujah. Seven times to seven churches, God said, He that has an ear, what? Let him hear what? What the Spirit is saying. What is the Spirit saying to you? What is it saying to you individually? What is it saying? Hallelujah. What is it saying? Have you anybody been looking at the global weather type situation?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Would you say that it's a wrenching thing, a stressful thing? Do you think that it would be? Could you probably say it's a travailing type of situation? You know, we just went through a cold snap down. That's one of the reasons why the flights were all canceled. Hallelujah. And then I pick up the paper and I see these humongous waves beating the shores of your country here. Hello? And the weather. Hello? Hallelujah. I was in Nigeria and somebody's telling me it was unseasonably hot. Unseasonably warm. Huh? Hallelujah. Praise God. I think it's the earth in travail. And we as a people should see it, should read it, and should know the signs. And if that isn't enough for you, how about your political situation? Huh? Hallelujah. The politicians, they used to rob you and hide it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? They now just rob you. And I'm not telling you to rebel against that system. I'm telling you, you need to understand the calling in the election that is upon your life. And you know something? God isn't going to do anything about it. Because you have been designated to do it. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, what? It is finished. Did you hear me? It is finished. Hello? Hallelujah. That means that he did everything that he possibly could do, and there was nothing else left for him to do. Hallelujah. And if it were not for the word that he gave the disciples before he died, you could say, well, then everything is done. I'm going to just sit back and twiddle my thumbs and rest and relax until Jesus Christ comes. Oh, no, no, no. He said, the works I do, you shall do them. But what? Greater works. Greater works means greater than anything that Jesus Christ did when he was here. Don't you hear it? Greater works. What is greater works? There is a fullness through the finishing of the thing that God wants to bring. There's a completion to what it was that he desired from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let us what? Make man. How? In our image. And how? Likeness. That means to be like God. This little baby here. She has the capability, the total reality of God inside of her if she has the blood of Jesus. Amen. And she can put any devil to flight, bring down any prince, bring down any kingdom of hell. I've seen it. Hallelujah. And children not much older than she is, younger than she is, rebuke the devil and the devil run. Hallelujah. We don't have to cower in the corner. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. We don't have to be afraid of things that go bump in the night. Hallelujah. Well, you know how it is, right, babies? You hear some sort of strange noise, and you hear the noise that your husband doesn't hear. Don't you hear that noise? No, I don't hear it. Don't you hear that noise? No, I don't hear it. Surely you hear that. Of course, you've never had that situation, right? Hallelujah. Sure, I'll go look, but you gotta come with me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where is our sense? Where is our sense of belonging? What did you? Are you just makeover Britons? Is that what you are? Huh? Do you understand what I mean? You were taken out of a culture and you were implanted here, and now are you just becoming a makeover of Britain? Huh. British in your thinking, British in your emotions, British in your response to circumstances and situations. British, 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 British. So now you've got a British devil and a Nigerian devil working together. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Nigerians never work with the British. And yet now you're in subjugation to the spirit. And you're more British than you are Nigerian. God forbid. Amen. And you have been born again. You are born of a different life right here. You are born of a different father. You are born into a different family. You are born of a different nature. You are born into a different nation.
Hallelujah.
And you've been born again for a particular reason. You've been born again for a particular purpose. And you are now standing on the brink, if not in the midst of it, of that purpose for which God reached out his hand and he put his finger and onto your heart and began to inscribe it on the heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The character and the qualities of God, you were not called for the substance of mammon. You were not called to make a better life for your children in this arena. My inheritance is not physical. My inheritance is not a natural thing. My inheritance is a spiritual endowment that I give my grandchildren.
Amen.
Hello. Hallelujah. I may die penniless, but I can tell you for sure that in God there is something far greater than money could ever buy. I am creating a legacy for them to walk in. I am creating a style and a position of living that is going to be bequeathed unto them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I don't have to wait till I die in order for them to do it physically. If I die now. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If I'm willing to die now, then my children will live.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. You know, some people don't like this message. Some people, they get irritated, they get frustrated, they get agitated. You know, they get all up and pushy and they feel uncomfortable and they don't want to listen to it. Well, I can understand that if your heart isn't fixed, you know, on a certain thing, on a certain principle, on a certain aspect of what it is that God has for you and for your children. If I break the devil of alcoholism in my family, my children are set free.
Yes. Yes.
If I break the spirit of nicotine in my family, my children are set free.
Amen.
If I break the spirit of lust and fornication in my family, the spirit is broken.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is broken, 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 broken.
Amen.
If I break the spirit of Americanism, my children will not be American.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. They will not be under the lordship of that independent, rebellious nature.
Yes.
Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am not busy. I'm not busy building churches. I'm not busy worried about denominational things. I am working to bring forth the kingdom of God in my grandchildren as well as my children. And in the environment in which I live, that is the sole purpose for which I have been called.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you can give me any excuse you want to be, but find God. Touch the hem of his garment.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I can guarantee you, God will not leave you worthless. God will not leave you without some hope. God will not leave you. You have to put your plans to the side. You have to put all your aspirations on the altar, brother, and God's going to drop the fire on it.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Fire is never fun unless you have a vision of reality and eternity inside of your eyeballs.
Yes.
Who was it that said? Ravenhill. Having eternity embedded, implanted, engraved on the back of your eyeballs.
Mm.
So everything you look at is looked at from the position of eternity.
Yes,
come on, think about it.
That's right.
Think about it. I've given no man what? 70 years. I've got 70 years. That's all I got. By virtue of the strength that God has given me as a natural man. That's all I got. Hello? So I can't afford to waste any of it, especially now. Hello? The closer I get to 70. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Did I tell you God? The closer I get to 70, my God, the sand in my glass is running out. Hello? You know, he's got all this sand down here and this little bitty bitty little sand left up there in the top of it. Hallelujah. So I have to be about the Father's business. I have to be about the kingdom of God. I have to be involved in those things that for which I have been called, which I have been elected. How about you? You've heard the same word. You made the same decision. Don't you remember? Come out of her, don't you remember that one? Come out of her, my people. What? Lest ye be what? Partakers of her plagues. That means plagues are coming to the realm of humanity. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And brother, we have been smitten with plagues of all kinds and of all aspects of natures. I don't know. I'm not a medical man that deals in all of that. They have special units of medicine that deal with nothing but new types of diseases. Huh? And they spend millions of dollars trying to find it. And you know what? They find a cure and it just mutates.
Mm-hmm.
Works around it. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Oh yes, they're trouting now. They got a cure for AIDS. Now come on, give me a break. It'll come out with a new type of AIDS. Hello? Why? Because there is an intelligence in darkness.
Oh, yes.
Did you hear me? There is an intelligence in darkness. And that intelligence works against the effort of man to diminish it or to disseminate it. Do you hear me? Why? Because it doesn't want to die. Hello? That's why I have so much trouble dying. My darkness doesn't want to die. It doesn't want to die, but that doesn't mean it's not going to die. Because I made a decision. Hello?
Hallelujah. Those Hebrew boys, they made a decision. Hallelujah. You know, it's interesting, as you go back and you read this story, it was on the place called the Plains of Dura. You know what Dura is? It's indicative of a circle or a circumstance in which one dwells. Hello? Hallelujah. It's indicative of a position, a lifestyle, a place that you are living. Your living may be different than mine, but living is living, brethren. It comes with all of the positives and the negatives, and everyone has to make a decision whether they're going to live and die in this world. Did you hear me? I made a decision. I made a decision. That's why I go and get on a plane and travel for 6 or 7 or 8 hours. You think I like doing that? Huh? I don't. Oh, I used to when I was a young man. Hello? It was fun, adventurous. It's not so adventurous anymore. It's tiring. It's stressful. It's straining. It is pushing you almost to the limit of physical ability to cope. Hello? And the older you get, the harder it gets. Hallelujah. 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 But there are things that have to be done in order to facilitate the covenant or the position of agreement that you have come into with a living God. And let me tell you something. We covenanted with God. Don't you know? Brazen laver, you have the revelation, right? Baptism in water, baptism in spirit, and what? Baptism into what? Christ, Christ, baptism into Christ. That's not when you go across the line and you die and you raised up from the dead. That's not talking about that. It's talking about the reality of coming into the fullness. Don't you believe in the fullness? Don't you believe in the sons of God? Do you believe that we will be walking as the two witness company that has the power of authority that is demonstrated by the sword that comes out of their mouth? Or do you think that this is a story that was given to us to make us feel good? Why do you think it was given to us? Brother, this is a living word. Don't you understand? This is a living word. And if any of us, you know, instead of learning the history of the UK, you should learn the history of what it is that you have as an inheritance in God that has been given to you by men, women, and children. This book is written in blood. God used man as a stylus. God used man as a pen to write a story. You look at Samson, you look at Samuel, you look at David, look at Saul, look at all of these men and women and children. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You look at all of these stories. These are not stories. They are something of the nature of God that is written by the fact of a man that was willing to commit himself to a position in God and to endure what it was that God would put him into. Hello, Samson. Hallelujah. Made a wrong decision.
Yeah.
But in the midst of Samson's tribulation. And the middle, he was on top of it for a while. He was indestructible. Hello? Oh yes, he was. He was. It's off again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let me just hold this down here or something. Hallelujah. Samson was a man that was called of God. He was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. Hello? Hallelujah. 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 And you know, we were birthed by reason of a word out of a system that is called church. You know, it's church is like as a mother to us. You understand that? Hello? Hallelujah. So when I am born again, and if I am born in a Baptist church, what am I? Huh? I'm part God and part Baptist. Come on. Come on. If I'm Pentecostal, I'm part God and part Pentecostal. I have to overcome the Baptist. I overcome the Pentecostal. Hello? So that God becomes the totality of everything and anything, and He's all in me. Totally. Absolutely. Jesus Christ had to overcome the Mary in Him.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you hear me?
Mary is a type of the church. Eve is a type of the church. Hello? Wasn't just a woman. She was a stylus that God picked up in her hand, in his hand, and began to write the captivity of man.
Hallelujah.
One of the brothers wrote the Bible. He says, you are what? A living epistle. You are a living epistle. Did you know that? Hello? You are a living visual, living, walking, talking word. Hallelujah. Isn't that what John chapter 1 says of Jesus Christ? Yes. Hallelujah. He walked among us. We saw him. We heard him. We handled him. Yeah? What did they handle? The word of God. Hello? You are a duplication of that. You are a product of that position, that place of commitment that he made a decision somewhere along the line. And I think we're told where he made that decision. And that was when they went to Jerusalem for the feast. Was it atonement that they went? Huh? At the time of atonement, how old was he? 12 years old. Hello? And you know something, there was the reason why I believe that we're given the story, because at that age, at that time, he came into a greater understanding of his position, his calling, his election. I believe it.
Right.
Hallelujah. Because of what he said to his father. They said, where, don't you know, we were so concerned about you. We didn't know where you were. You didn't speak to us. How many of you would tell your children if they wandered off into a crowd? What would you do? You'd take them home and bam. Right? Well, at least I hope you would. Oh, yeah. No, maybe you just pat them. Oh, he has this adventurous spirit. Mm. No, they were concerned. They had a right to be concerned. But he wasn't disrespectful to them. He looked at them pondering and saying, well, don't you know that I have to be about my Father's business? It says what? Mary took the thing to heart. Didn't it say that about her?
Yes.
Hallelujah. She was coming into an understanding. She was there. The thing happened to her, and yet in all of that happening, she still was not yet convinced of the fact of who and what he was.
Oh,
yes. Hello? Much like us, when we are born again, we do not understand the reality, and those of which we are fellowshipping with sometimes don't understand it either. Hello? Hallelujah. But he came into a place of decision. Instead of going out there with all the other kids and playing and doing whatever they were doing, he went right to the heart of the matter. He went down to sit and talk with those in the learning of the Word of God. Hallelujah. How much more should you and I be involved in that type of activity? How much more should you and I be coming to an understanding and a reality of just exactly who our Father is? We don't know who our Father is. He's some man over there in some other place. Our mother is some woman over there in some other place. Hello? Pull a string and we jump. Hallelujah. Brethren, come on. And I'm not saying that we are divorcing ourselves from our position of natural responsibility. Jesus Christ took care of his natural responsibilities as well as his spiritual responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And the spiritual responsibility gave him the strength to do his natural responsibility. And it was that way until he was there on the cross. Do you hear me? Hello? Because he delegated that responsibility to another man. Don't you hear it? Hallelujah. And yet he had the audacity, he had the gall to say, when they said, your mother, your brother, your brothers, your sisters, they're all outside waiting for you. What did he say? These are my brothers. These are my fathers. This is my business right here. This is my responsibility of oversight. This is my position of responsibility and accountability. Hello? Hallelujah. So did it mean he was this? Not doing his responsibility? No. He was doing what he needed to do, but he was doing what he needed to do because of what he was doing that was more essential and important for him to do. And in the doing of it, God was making a provision. I don't know how God, we're not told. He wandered all over the country. Back and forth. I don't know how he did it. Mary was sometimes with him, I suppose, and sometimes not. I don't know. But I do know he took care of her. Because he delegated. He says,
Woman, look at this man. Look at your son. And he said, son, look at your mother. He delegated that responsibility. It says that the woman went home to live with that man. Hello? Hallelujah. Do you think that stopped John from doing what John was supposed to do? Oh, absolutely not. Just look at his life. Look at his testimony. Look at the place that he wound up at the end of the day. Hello? He wound up on an island out there in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. He wound up on an island, just a rock. Have you ever looked at it? Huh? Hallelujah. Well, they kind of commercialized it now and made it something a little more habitable. But at the time they put the only thing that lived out there were seagulls. Hallelujah. But you see, God had a divine appointment. You want a divine appointment with God? Huh? Hallelujah. John was a very special person. Not in that he was above and the rest of them. It was the interest that he had in God. Hello? Hallelujah. When everybody else was falling asleep, John was sitting there with Jesus Christ. I can even imagine John as he sees Christ get up out from the fire to go up onto the mountain. God, John getting up and following, trying to see what he was going to do. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then sitting down from a bit, but he could hear. I believe it. I tell you, I believe it. Because there was something that was happening to John that was not happening to the rest of them. The word of God that John was hearing was immortalizing him. Get that for a word.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Huh? Do you hear me? That word was making John immortal. Not that he wasn't going to die at some point, but I'm telling you something, the power of the word in him, they could not kill him.
Right.
And don't tell me those Romans didn't try to kill him.
Right.
Romans knew how to kill a man.
That's right.
History has it that they put him on horses and the ropes broke or something. Hallelujah. They put him in oil and tried to boil him. Can you imagine being put into you ladies, have you ever got splattered with the grease? Huh? How hot, how searing, how... What is that? Flesh does what? Just... Huh? Hallelujah. And yet they put him in a boiling pot of oil. Hello? Pull him out of there. He's probably pink and red just like the day he was born. Hallelujah. They could not kill him. What would you do with a man that you couldn't kill? Get him out of your sight. Get him somewhere where you don't have to think about him. Where did they put him? Out there on Patmos. That's just where God wanted him. Do you hear me? He had a divine appointment with God, so God orchestrated a situation to get him there because he knew of the immortality that was in John. And he was putting that immortality to work. He was putting that immortality to a test. Hallelujah. How is it that you think that those two witness company become immortal and they cannot kill him, but at the end of the day, they kill him? Huh? How do you think about that? What do you think? What do you think? Come on. Hello? You think you're just going to walk like Enoch into it? No, no, no. Enoch set a pattern. Enoch set a benchmark. Enoch set a level by which you could be and I could be judged as a human person. Hallelujah. 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 They could not kill John because of the word that was in John. And John had an appointment. God wanted to take John out of that island and translate him into the future. Hallelujah. You know, I think John was the only man that went into the past and went into the future at the same time. I think he's the only man. Because it says, you read John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning. And you know, there's such an intimacy in the word of John. Did you understand? An intimacy, a closeness, a reality. Somebody who is narrating a story that he is watching. I believe it. Call me idiot, call me dumb, call me fanatical. I'm telling you, I believe it. I believe John was translated back to the beginning. And I believe he saw it as God began to move. I believe he saw the creation of it. Hallelujah. And as he saw the reality of the word in a spiritual sense, Brother Chudoki, hallelujah. Don't you want that type of place? Don't you want that type of experience? Hallelujah. I want it.
I want to be in it, but it's going to cost me something, brethren. I can't expect just to be as I am and to step out and to step into a place and expect God to pour it out upon it. He says, it will destroy me. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. There was something about the glory of God. We talk about glory, 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 glory. Brother, I don't know if you ever heard of Henry Groover, but he was a man that does prayer walking. He's been in some very, very special places. And we prayed about Henry Groover because we were going to ask him to come to our fellowship. So we prayed about him, and God gave us a dream. And you know what God called him? Called him a big game hunter. You know what a big game hunter is? He's the guy that goes out there and shoot those elephants, shoot those tigers, shoot those rhinos, and goes up and hangs them up as trophies. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. So what Henry Groover does is go into uninhabitable, unpossessable, unlivable situation, and he hunts big spiritual game. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he was telling a story. He wasn't telling a story. He got up one day in a meeting that we were having, and he says, he gave a word of prophecy. That's what it was. He gave a word of prophecy, and it was about the glory of God. He says, when God pours His glory out upon you, what will it produce? Mm. Hallelujah. There were 12 men. And out of the one was not what he should be. Mm. Hallelujah. In fact, he was utilizing his situation. He was utilizing the word that he had to secure his position and to better it. And somehow wanting to manipulate that circumstance so that he could come out on top. Hello? And yet God chose the man to give him every opportunity to repent. Hello? And when God poured out the glory upon him, hello? And God gave that glory to his disciples. Oh yes, John chapter 17. That glory produced something in him that was different than the glory that was produced in the other 11. Hello, have you ever thought about that? Same glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Judas lost his inheritance. Judas squandered his inheritance for a natural position of existence, for a natural position of understanding, for a position or a place that benefited him in this realm of time. You weren't created for time, brother. You were created for eternity. That's why you got eternity inside of you. The only trouble is, eternity is case encapsulated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there was a song the Lord gave me one time. It was called The Incorruptible Seed. Hello? Do you hear me? The incorruptible seed, now entombed. What? In this body of clay. Will I give him the praise? Will I give him the liberty to what? Roll the stone away. There is a process of rolling that stone. There is first thing the stone represents is death to self. Totally, absolutely, positively. Dead, 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 dead. Hallelujah. Am I there yet? No. Hallelujah. But I want to be. And I'm not just a wannabe person. You know, you have these honeybees, there's wannabes. I don't want to be a wannabe. Huh? I want to be. I want to be a man in God. I want to be a man who has God in him and all around him. Hallelujah. In the totality of what it is. But I cannot do that if I'm walking in, standing up under my own strength, under my own vitality, under my own position of presumptuous human thinking. I cannot be in that position. It will destroy me. Hallelujah. I have to be in a higher place. I have to be in a better place. I have to be a better bee. Hallelujah. That's what this story is all about here in Daniel. Don't you know that? Hello? It's about you and me, brother. Hallelujah. It's about our position, our place of relationship, the calling and the election that was upon our lives. Hallelujah. And let me go right back for a moment to this binding up in the positions of your life and the things that you are involved in. God can deliver you if you're willing to let God deliver you in the way that God wants to deliver you. And you don't presuppose what it is. And don't put expectations or stipulations. Well, I'll be delivered if you do this, this, this. But please don't do this and don't do that. Huh? Hallelujah. Oh yes, come on. Hallelujah. They did not know. All they know is that there was a threat. There was a word. And you know, I think that they also knew Nebuchadnezzar. They had lived with him, worked with him for a number of years. They knew this man and his idiosyncrasies and his egotistical position of self-worth. Hello? And they knew how he had circumvented God on different occasions. Hello? And they knew all about this man. Hello. And yet they made a decision. And brethren, they had no say so in the results of it. The only thing that they could determine was whether we live or whether we die. What? We will serve and love the Lord our God. Hello. That's all they could do. That's all they could hope for. That's all they could do. You know, we want to put Isaac on the table with the thought of, well, we don't have to sacrifice Isaac. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Isaac has to be sacrificed. In the mind of Abraham, Isaac was a dead man. He was already dead. And he was already resurrected. Hallelujah. So what did they do? Bound him up. It wasn't and they bound him up in all of their, it says their cloak and hosen or something like that. Their garments, all their garments. Everything that was on them, they were bound up with it all around. And it gives you the sense of a rope that is wrapped continually around you. Huh? Hallelujah. Kind of a hopeless, helpless situation, don't you think? Hallelujah. Can you imagine? Oh yeah, I can hear them. At least if I were in their shoes, I'd be looking at one or the other one and say, oh boy, we're dead now. Huh? We're really dead. Dead, dead. We're dead. We're really dead. Are you sure you want to go through with this thing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it was necessary. You see, you're talking about sets of circumstances, but you're talking about a decision that brings a deliverance for you out of that set of circumstances. Hallelujah. The first thing it did was to kill all those mighty men. He got his best. You know? He got his best, his strongest men. He got the best, strongest men. Hello? That means those princes, the polities. You're not dealing with little demonic little devils running around. What you're dealing with is princes. Oh, yeah. Angelic angels, do you hear me? Who have never, ever, ever been contended with. And if have been contended with, they have taken care of it. Brush them off. There has never been a threat until Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And brethren, if this word is for this time, then it is a prophetic utterance. Don't you understand? That word is prophetic. It is you, it is me, in our circumstances, in that situation, because of a decision that we have come to. Hello? Hallelujah. You go into John chapter 17. Go down into where he says, I have given them thy word. What word did he give them? He gave them overcomer word. He gave them 144,000. He gave them first fruits. He gave them ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. He gave them two witness company word. There was no other word that that man who was the Son of God could give them. Hello? Hallelujah. He gave them that word. He says, I have given them this word. Hallelujah. I pray that thou shalt what? Take them out of the world, but you keep them from what? The evil that is in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have a prayer from Jesus Christ that he prayed for you, sister. Hallelujah.
that you not be taken out of the world, but the evil would be kept out from you. But you have something in you that radiates light.
Hallelujah.
Hello? Hallelujah. You turn the lights out and you got darkness. You turn the lights on, you got light. It dispels the darkness. It pushes it out. Is the darkness out there? Is it lighted up or is it still trying to get in? Turn off the lights and find out what happens.
Hallelujah.
It's as easy as that. Hello? It's the light that is within you that dispels the darkness. Hallelujah. He said to them, I have given them thy world. And he said, they are not of this world. He said also, what? The world will what? Hate you. That, you know what that means? It wants to kill you. Wants to murder you. Wants to make do you in. Wants to finish you off. The Bible, he says, I say unto you that if a man hates his brother, he what?
He's a murderer.
He's a murderer. Hello? He says the world hates them. It wants to murder you, wants to kill you. They're not friends. Well, you go out here and you do all kinds of business and they give you money, 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 money. Huh? Hallelujah. They're not your friend. Wait, give them half an opportunity and they'll be taking money, 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 money back. Hallelujah. 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 So here we have that we have them in this situation. We have them in this set of circumstances. There's a word that God has given to us. There was a word that has been given to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. Hallelujah. And I've heard it preached this way, that way, up, down, up, round, bout, all around. Hallelujah. And missed it entirely. Hello? There is a prophetic word here in Daniel concerning it. When they threw those men in the fire. Hallelujah. First thing it did was to kill those princes. Well, you got a couple of princes ruling over you. Huh? Come on. Hallelujah. Write their names down. Put them on your wall. And then say, rest in hell.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Make a declaration. Hallelujah. Make a proclamation that you are not of this world. And you're not going to be a pawn, a fool of the devil. You're no longer going to play the devil's game. You're no longer going to play the devil's fool. Hello? Because when you do that, the devil is finished. Hello? And see what happens to your situation. See what happens to the stress and the strain upon your family. Find out what happens to your finances. Find out what happens politically around you. You have become a dire threat. Oh, the devil's not worried about us now. We're not threatening him. Oh, we come, we hear, we say amen, we clap, we say, oh yes, praise God. But you know, we don't do anything. We don't go down to fasting and praying. We don't begin to pray for those against those principalities and powers. We don't come against the spirit of Tammuz. We don't come against the spirit of Dagon. We don't come against those different Baal gods. The spirit of Moloch, come on. We're talking about hell, angelic princes. We don't come about them. We just rebuke this little devil here, that little devil over there, that little devil over there. We do what every other Pentecostal is doing. And look at the shape the Pentecostal church is in. If there is, it's not an institution of God, it's an institution of the world.
Right.
And if you prophesy, they'll kick you out of the church. Hallelujah. Because you see, the church does not want you to prophesy. They can't control it. Hello? They can't control it. It may be that the finger of God will be put upon the pastor, put upon the elder, put upon this one, and put upon that one. We want to hear good prophecy. Oh, you're going to do great exploits. You're going to prosper in the name of the Lord. You're going to be, and your children are going to grow up as plantings of the Lord. Oh yes, we all want to hear that. Hello? Hallelujah. But we don't want to hear the prophecy. When Jeremiah came to the king, what happened to him? He came to him with the word of the Lord. What happened to him? What happened to Jeremiah? He got put into the sewer. No, a sewer. It was sewer. Down up to his armpits and sludge and gunk. Hello? And it was a It was somebody else who took mercy on him, went to the king and said, look, you're going to kill this man. We got to pull him out of there. We got to do something about him. And then what did God do? Sent Jeremiah into captivity with the rest of the children. Didn't leave him there. Didn't leave him free. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I can guarantee you that he was a thorn in their flesh in captivity. Huh? Hallelujah. We don't want the Word of God. Somebody once said it's the goody two-shoe gospel. Huh? Goodness and mercy. Huh? Goody two-shoe. Goody two-shoe gospel. Goodness, mercy, and grace. Huh? Come on. I'm not opposed to mercy. I'm not opposed to grace when it is to be apportioned. Hallelujah. But I believe there's a consequence for grace that is utilized in a way that it is not supposed to be utilized. It's like bringing the gospel to non-effect. Hello? Don't you hear me? Hallelujah. And we have been guilty of it as a people. I didn't say you. I said we as a people. You think I'm only saying this thing to you? I'm saying it to you, to me, and everywhere I go. Into every church that is a church that has been given a word, because the Holy Place Church is in trouble. Hallelujah. The abomination that we're looking for isn't going to come outside of the Holy Church. It's the Holy Church that gives the authority for the abomination to stand up where it ought not to be. Holy place! Where's the flea? Oh yes, we were fleeing out of the outer court and thinking we were going to set up home in that holy place. Oh no, no, no. It was a temporary dwelling. It's a temporary place. And now that abomination of desolation. What is the desolation? It is the desolating of the fact of the intent of what God purposed for man in the beginning. Bring it to naught. Bring it to nilch. Bring it to zero. Whatever word that you want to put on it. It's nothing, nothing, nothing. Hello? Zero times zero gives you what? Zero. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We as a people, brethren, we need to repent. We need to get down before God. Individually. Individually. Go home. Make a covenant with your wife. Make a covenant with your children. Make a covenant with God. Do something. Do something. Do something. Don't just walk out of here convicted that you need to do something and you do nothing. Do something. And if you don't believe it, push it to the side. Hallelujah. You're not going to offend me. I will feel sad. I will feel bad. But you're not going to offend me in the aspect, well, they didn't listen to what I said. Huh? They got what they deserved. No, 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 no. Hello. Come on. Hello. Hallelujah. You need to do something in your private lives. Not in a corporate setting. Do your private business and then come do your corporate thing. I tell you what, you do your private thing and your corporate thing will come into being. Oh yes. And it's not going to be everybody that is going to be there. And you don't go around, wonder if they're going to be there. No, 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 no. My mother used to say, birds of a feather flock together. I don't want to be a sparrow. I want to be an eagle.
Amen.
Brother Bilton, he wrote a book, Eagle Saints Arise. That's what God is saying in this hour. Eagle Saints Arise. Eagle Saints Arise. Spread your wings. Get up there into the heavens. Hallelujah. And you know something about that eagle? Oh my God, that eagle, he looks for the storm. He looks for it. He's unhappy if he doesn't have it. Because he gets the thrill of a ride of his life. And when that storm comes, he just sets his wing. He goes up high, sets his wing, and he heads right into it. Why? Because he knows that when he hits those winds, those turbulent winds, it will buoy him up and it will bring him up. And he will fly higher than he was ever capable of flying or the way that he was designed. He will fly higher.
Amen.
Hello? Because he was created not for this lower atmosphere. He was created for that higher realm of air. He needs to breathe that high, pure air. Do you hear me? Hello? You are supposed to be eagles, spreading your wings, and they that wait upon the Lord. What? They shall what? Mount up with what? Alabakandaya. I don't want to be a little chirper down here hopping around like a chicken. Chicken is a bird with wings, but it don't fly. Hallelujah. I don't want to be a chicken. I don't want to be a sparrow. I don't want to be a parrot. I don't want to be anything but an eagle. Hallelujah. And not just any eagle. I want to be like the eagle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, there is so much that God is now offering. And it's almost as though God is pleading with us. 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 Hallelujah. And you know, there are things that we have to do in the natural. I'm not going to tell you what they are. You have to go to God and ask Him.
Yes.
Not my job. I don't know what your circumstances are. I don't know what your situation. Everybody's circumstances is different, but yet in the matter it's the same. Hallelujah. It binds you. Hallelujah. Just like them children were being bound. But they had a date with deliverance. But the deliverance was a fire that was seven times hotter. Do you want the seven times hotter fire? Oh, I don't know. You have to think about that one, right? Do you want it? Hallelujah. Well, if you want God, you're going to have to want the fire. If you don't want the fire, go and ask God, give me a desire for the fire. Hallelujah. I cannot create a desire. You think I like pain? You think I like stress? Oh no, I'm one of these guys that runs from it. Hallelujah. Just find me a little quiet corner somewhere behind a piece of furniture where nobody can see me. That's where I want to be, hid. But that is not going to get me into the place that I want to be, and as I see that is made for me by the Word of God. God says, I have something higher for you. What are you willing to do to get it? Huh? Hallelujah. What are you willing to do? Get angry with me for telling you? Get upset with me for what I'm saying? Well, it won't do you any good, and it certainly isn't going to help me any. Hello? May give me a few more spirits to fight, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, it isn't going to bring you into the place of where it is that God wants you to be. You know, I'm getting too old to deal with it. I don't have the time left anymore. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a position, there's a place, there's a responsibility. And you know, I'm not just preaching to you or teaching you or I'm not sharing with you, I'm sharing to me. You know, I always appear with what God gives me. Hello? And I'm way down here and I have to struggle. Hello? Because you see, when I say something to you, I lose something in my circumstance. And I go home to tribulation and tribulation and tribulation and more tribulation. Hello? Hallelujah. Peter said, do you think it's strange? What? These fiery darts? Huh? Come on. Read Malachi chapter 3. You are kings and priests, right? You believe it? Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Then go home and read Malachi. Read the whole book. We like Malachi chapter 3. But the whole book of Malachi is written to the priesthood. And it's an indictment against the priesthood. Hello? And it is a recommend, of what it is that needs to be done in order to fix the problem. He says, I will come what? As a refiner's fire. As a fuller's salt. To do what? To purify. That means I need purification. Hallelujah. And did I not say to Jesus Christ when I was baptized into Him that I would go all the way? And did I not say that, yes, I want the Spirit, but God, I also want the fire. I need the fire. I need it. Oh my God, help me to understand the reality of my need for that fire. And then when I'm in the midst of it, help me not to complain. Help me not to find fault with those around me that are putting the fire on me. Help me to understand the reality. I've got what I asked for. Hallelujah. Next time you get in an argument with your wife, next time you get in an argument with your husband, next time you get in an argument with your parents, think about the fire. Come on. Next time you get in financial difficulty or trouble physically, think about the fire. Hallelujah. For it's something that God gives us not to destroy us. Not to destroy us. You know, this last conference in Port Harcourt, the theme of the conference by the word of the Lord was consecration, dedication, and sanctification.
That was the word. That was the theme. It wasn't something that we sat down and thought up. It was a word that God brought to us right there at the beginning of the conference. Hallelujah. How do you like that for ad lib? How do you like that? We can rewrite. Oh, we're going to talk about this. Blah, 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 blah. How do we know? Do we spend time in prayer and fasting? Did we get a word from God? Can we say, well, God said so and so and so and so? Well, praise the Lord, if you can do that, then speak. Hello? But if you can't say, God told me, this is the word of God, be quiet. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is a place, there is a time, there is a frame. And we, like those three Hebrew children, stand at the brink of that experience. What would your response be? What would my response be? I hope it's a positive response. And he said, whether we live or whether we die, we have made a decision. God bless you.